But it's nice that we have an environment where it's no big deal. You don't just have babies in the room. So maybe it's easy for me to say, maybe not as easy for the parents, but it's nice at least that for everyone else it's not so bad. You know, we've been going through this series, going through our values as a church, about who we are and what we do. It's about who we want to be as the body of Christ, as believers, as a church, and as all of us. Who do we want to be? It's kind of a target to shoot for about how we want to live our lives, how we want to represent Christ, the things we value. And so we've been going through this series. If you want to see where we've been, you turn your bulletin over, and those are our values on the back. There's eight of them there, and we've been spending 8 weeks going through. This is week seven. And this week we're talking about being personally generous, about being generous people, personally generous. And this is an important one this week because we see in the Bible, it's pretty clear that this is a response, a very clear response to inner life transformation. It comes out in this way. John the Baptist in Luke 3, he's going around baptizing people, and he tells them, he kind of scolds them, but he tells them, he says, now produce fruit in keeping with repentance. That's what he says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And they said, what should we do? He said, and this is an example he gives. For anyone who has two shirts, give one to the one who has none. Same with food. Whoever has food, share with the one that has none. All right, that's how it's going to, that's how you're going to show your repentance, is in that way. Rich young ruler comes to Jesus. This guy, he's trained up, he's got everything going in his life. He comes to Jesus and says, how do I inherit eternal life? Jesus says, well, keep the commandments. The guy says, cool, I'm down with that. I've done them all. I'm good at that. He says, and so Jesus says, okay, here's what I want you to do. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. And the guy went away sad. He said, but that's how Jesus said, you want to show you have repentance? That's how he wanted him to show it. Zacchaeus, next chapter in, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Jesus came to his house, and Zacchaeus was so excited. He says, here and now, he says, I'm going to give half my possessions to the poor, and if I've robbed anybody, I'm going to give him back four times as much. And know what Jesus said in response to that? Jesus says, today salvation has entered this house, right? Not because he earned God's favor by this act, right? We know he didn't earn it by that. We know John the Baptist once said to give your tunic as a way, your shirt away as a way of earning God's favor. Not like the rich young ruler was going to earn it by giving away his possessions. But it was just a clear response. Their generosity was a clear response of their inner life transformation. We see that all through the scripture. So that's what we're going to talk about today. That we can't have, it's not possible to say, I submit my life to Christ, that he is the Lord over my life, he's in charge of everything, and yet it have no impact on how we view our resources and our possessions. All right, it's going to have an impact on that. And so today we're talking about the value of being personally generous. And as we talk about this value of being personally generous, it's important that we're not talking about this as coming out of guilt or have to or ought to or any of that, but instead out of a transformed life, out of a change in our life, because it's not natural. Right? It's not natural to be generous. It requires a fresh view of our resources, about where they come from, what they're used for. It requires a fresh view of the world we live in. It requires a fresh view of God, right, and how we view him and how we interact with him. And so that's what we're going to look at today as we look at the value of being personally generous. So if you've got Bibles, open them up. Luke chapter 16 today. Luke 16, verses 1 to 15. So as you turn there, Luke 16, 1 to 15, it's a parable of Jesus, parable of the shrewd manager. It is a sneaky, tough parable. I had to write a paper. They require at Talbot University, where I got my master's in biblical and theological studies, they require all of us to write a paper, a big research paper on this passage, because that's tough. It's that tough a passage. And so we're going to look at it today. A lot of people will shy away from it because it's kind of a difficult passage, but it fits perfectly with what we're talking about today, so I think it's worth a look. Luke 16, 1 to 15. We all there? I hear a few pages turning. What page in the paperback Bibles? 727? Is it different in the different? 727, 730. I try to keep that the same. They keep, all right. So right around there, all right? Are we all there? I don't hear any more turning. Luke 16, starting at verse 1. Jesus told his disciples, there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer. The manager said to himself, what shall I do now? This guy's freaking out. You see that? He's like, oh, I'm in trouble. What do I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig,
and I'm ashamed to beg.
So he said, what's going to happen? I'm losing my job. I can't go dig ditches. I can't beg. This is my only... What am I going to do? He's worried about what comes next. Verse 4.
I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses. All right, he's coming up with a plan. Verse 5. So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, how much do you owe my master? 800 gallons of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 400.
Cut the bill in half, right? He owed 800. So, okay, here's what you do.
You only owe 400 now. Then he asked the second, how much do you owe? 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told him, take your bill and make it 800. Verse 8. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Verse 10. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. Verse 11. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? Verse 12. And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The Pharisees, who loved money, heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. He said to them, you are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of men, but God knows your hearts. What is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight.
All right, that's our passage for today that we're going to be digging into. Here's the main lesson we're going to see. If you got fill in the blanks, this is your first fill in the blank. This is what we can learn from this parable. It's interesting. Jesus praises the use of resources to build relationships that will have eternal significance. Jesus praises the use of resources to build relationships that will have eternal significance. It's kind of a confusing parable, a lot going on, but in verse 9, Jesus puts on his commentary statement. He kind of builds, he makes this big statement, like pulls back the curtain, let us know what he's talking about. Verse 9, he says, I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings.
So check out this manager, right? There's this guy managing this other guy's money. Seems like he was dishonest, right? They even call him dishonest. But yet he was praised, and his virtue was held up with what he was doing. Think about what he was doing. He realized his time was short, okay? And so he was generous. He realized his time was short, so he was generous, thinking about in light of what was coming next, right? So he was realizing this time is short. He started thinking about what comes next, and so he was generous with those resources to prepare for what comes next, all right? And so Jesus uses this parable to extol generosity, to this virtue of generosity. And to get a better understanding of this, we got to know the context of what's happening up until this point. All the teachings right up before this, all right? And going back a few chapters, in Luke chapter 12, Jesus told a parable of the rich fool. So he just got done telling this parable of the rich fool. Guy had all this money. He stored it up. He says, I got so much money, I'm going to build even bigger barns. I'm going to have a bigger savings account. I'm going to have even more money. And the goal was to take life easy, eat, drink, and be happy. All right, he's going to be wise with the money. He's going to hold on to it. And God says, you fool, today that your life will be taken from you. Highlighting the insignificance of worldly wealth. That worldly wealth isn't as valued as we think. We think it's the end all, be all. He says, no, it's not like that at all. All right. Specifically says in verse 21, this is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God. All right, so kind of putting worldly wealth in its place. Then Jesus teaches right after that about don't worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, where you're going to sleep, all that stuff. God knows your needs, and he's going to handle that stuff. He's going to take care of it. It says, seek first his kingdom, and all these things will be given to you. All right, so he says, don't get all caught up in worldly wealth. Let God handle that stuff, all right? Worldly wealth isn't that big a deal. Then he continues on. Right after that, he goes in and says, be watchful, because I'm coming back. All right, be watchful. I'm going to return, and when I do, this whole thing's going to change. So we got to be watchful, right? Be watchful for my return, because there's going to be a future time coming when it's all going to change. And so in chapter 13, he says, repent. You guys got to repent. You got to change your ways. You got to live different. because I'm coming back and there's going to be this new order of things. Verse chapter 14, Jesus then tells about the disciples about the cost of being a follower of his. All right, about you got to be willing to give up everything. You got to be willing to walk away from everything. Don't even have a place to lay your head. All right, he says it's difficult. You got to be willing to say no to all of it. You got to be able to carry your cross, be willing to give it all up. And then chapter 15, so after all this of tearing down, saying worldly wealth isn't that big a deal, it's not worth living your life for, it's not that valuable, it's not going to help you in eternity, there's going to be a time coming when none of that's going to matter. Then he says what really matters, in chapter 15, he tells three parables. Parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And each one of those parables point to what's really the most important thing to God, and that is lost people coming into a saving relationship with him. All right, lost people finding Jesus, that's the most important thing to God. So he's just got done saying, worldly wealth isn't going to help you in the long run. It's foolish to be all about that. Instead, what really matters is people finding salvation, lost people coming to him. And then he tells this parable. And then he tells this parable all about wisdom of using something that has a short-term value, something that's not that valuable, worldly wealth. Here's a good use for worldly wealth. He says, you being generous with worldly wealth in order to build relationships that can bring people into saving relationship with Christ. See that? So he's saying that this guy was wise. What he brought, the value he raised up in this guy is he was thinking ahead. He realized the time was short. There's going to be a time where he's not going to have these resources anymore. So I'm going to use these resources now to help out in the future, in this next time. And so he raises up this value of being generous with this thing of temporary value, and instead kind of exchanging it for something of eternal value. All right, building these relationships that have eternal significance. See, we have an opportunity to use something of temporary value, right? This thing that worldly wealth right now, because we're here now, it feels like our resources feel like such an important thing. We work for them, we do all this stuff for them, right? We live our lives to gain them, and everything comes from it. It feels like, but in all reality, that's just for the here and now. And the Bible is very clear about not living for these, is that it's not all that. And so what it's saying is that we can exchange that for something of true value, something that really matters. It's almost like this. Imagine if you're living back during the Civil War, okay? We got wagons, horses, whole deal. And you live in the South, and you're a rich dude, loaded with Confederate money, okay? You're loaded with Confederate money, and if you knew what was going to happen, that the South was going to lose, and your Confederate money was going to go from awesome to nothing, what would be the wise thing to do? Exchange it, right? You'd want to exchange it. If you knew there was going to be a time when your Confederate money wasn't going to be worth anything, there's no point hoarding it up, right? Putting it under your mattress, the whole deal. You got to go exchange it for something that's going to help you out in the coming time, all right? You got to go exchange it, whether it be for food or for belongings or for U.S. currency or whatever. You'd have to exchange it. Kind of a similar thing about we have an opportunity to exchange something of temporary value for something that has eternal significance. So by being generous with people, we have opportunities to build relationships that can have eternal significance. What do I mean by that? This is not just saying be generous for generous' sake. I'm not saying that when anybody comes up to you at the gas station, you just got to empty your pockets to them. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being generous with a purpose, all right? Being generous to build relationships, being generous to spend time with people, all right? So what does this look like? Maybe it's going out to lunch with someone and you pick up the bill, right? Invite someone to lunch and say, hey, man, I'd love to spend some time. Can I take you out to lunch? It's on me, all right? And have a chance to interact with someone. Maybe it's giving generous gifts, not when it's a holiday or anything like that. Just say, hey, I was thinking of you. I thought this would be good for you, and I picked it up for you. Stuff like that. It's meeting a need, seeing a need and meeting it, even though it's kind of a step beyond. Being generous. By doing these things, you can take something as insignificant as money and do something amazing, breaking down barriers with people, right? Opening doors to people, really truly getting to know people, building a deeper relationship, showing love, right? You can take something as insignificant as a green piece of paper, and with that, you show love, all right, by spending time. Before I was here with City Lights, I was a college pastor at a church, and dealing with these college guys, these are all dudes that, like, stayed at home and had all their bills paid for, real lazy, and, you know, that kind of, you know that, you can picture them, right? I couldn't get these guys to do anything. I tried to hang out with them and stuff. But they didn't have any money. So what I would do is I'd buy them lunch. If I buy them lunch, then I got them for an hour. And we'd have the best conversations over those lunch. I would walk away at the end of that lunch. We would walk away with a whole different relationship than we did walking in. And all it took was an extra $6 out of my pocket to pay for his lunch as well as mine, right? And it feels like, oh, but $6. No, generous, about being generous. Through this parable, we see that as wise use of money, all right? Being generous to build relationships that will have eternal significance. Being generous can really make a statement. That's why we try to do it as a church. You guys have seen it, I hope. Since day one, going all the way back when we're meeting in the community center, we always put food out, right? We put food out for everyone to eat. After service, put food out for everyone to eat here. There we used to have it in the service. Like people would be sitting there with fork and knife while we're preaching, you know? And they'd be getting up and getting more, right? You remember that? For those of you who are there, all service, they'd be loading up their plates. And some of us, we were like, oh, that's his third plate. No, who is this dude? He's taking advantage, right? We do that. But I never did, right? Because understanding the purpose of why that food's out, it's the idea of being generous. For as little, as insignificant as that food is, if it's going to get them in and hear the truth, and we get a chance to get to know them, build relationship, if it's going to tear down walls, tear down barriers, and make them available to get known and to know us, and likewise, what a great investment. Are you kidding me? A few bucks for some food, you know, whatever. Same thing goes for us in our lives. You're starting to picture what I'm talking about making yourselves available, being generous, not just generous with your money, right? Generous with your time, generous with your forgiveness, generous with your love, generous with your acceptance. No, people got to earn their, they don't just get to know me. They got to work, I put up this barrier. No, be generous. Be ready to accept people, all right? Yeah. Being generous, we have an opportunity to build relationships that lead to something of true value. We want to be generous people. Okay, as I'm talking about this, there's some natural objections to this. You guys are sitting there right now, and there's something crying out in the deepest part of your soul. Said, hold on, I hear what you're saying, but this is one of those sermons that stays out there and not in here, okay? There's something crying out. And when you read this parable, there's something that cries out from this parable. Well, we're going to look at those objections, and we're going to see that this parable actually addresses them, okay? First objection that you're having problems with. As you're reading this parable and you're trying to apply it to your life, here's your first objection. You guys already know it. I'm just going to call it out, okay? You guys are already feeling it. First thing you're thinking is this. Well, Tom, sure is easy to be generous with someone else's money. Right? What did this guy do? This guy was being so generous in the parable. He's being so generous. He wasn't generous with his own money. He was cutting debts to what not was owed to him, but was owed to his boss. Right? He was being so generous, but it wasn't his money. He's being generous with someone else's money. This is the hold on, you know, that's not a fair comparison. Don't use that to tell me what to do with my money. Right? That, you're thinking it. It's okay. I thought it too when I first read it. Well, before you say it's not a fair comparison, or as you're saying that, I want to say I disagree. It's actually a lot more fair than you think. Because look at the response. All you have belongs to God. This is the key foundational starting point of this. And it's this. What you have isn't yours. Okay? All your belongings, the things you own, you don't own them. Okay? Your car, your clothes, your TV, whatever is in your wallet, fill in all the blanks, your shoes, all this stuff, your savings, that's not yours, okay? It doesn't belong to you. God's letting you use it, okay? It's his. This guy was generous with his boss's money. God's asking us to be generous with his money. Okay? Exodus 19:5, God says, the whole world is mine. Job 41:11, everything under heaven belongs to me. Psalms 50:10, every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. Haggai 2:8, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord. Deuteronomy 8:17-18, listen to this one. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant which he swore to your forefathers as it is today. You don't own what you have. All right? God owns it. It's not being generous with your stuff, it's being generous with God's stuff. All right? And again, not just random, not just generous, but generous with a purpose to build relationships that lead to eternal significance. Ownership really is key. Understanding this idea of ownership is key. Because, think of it this way. Let's say you got $100, and I come around and I snatch 20. You're mad, right? I got 80 now. If I snatch 20, you're mad. You're coming after me. All right? Okay. Switch around. Let's say I have 100, and I give you 80. Woo! Hot dang, right? Choo! The only difference is the idea of ownership. Both situations, you end up with 80 bucks. But what makes it so different is the idea of ownership. Ownership affects everything. Man, my kids, one kid's got a red car and the other one's got a yellow car. And if they decide that car is theirs, like there'll be a whole box of Matchbox cars. But if the red one belongs to Luke and the yellow one belongs to Jake, somehow they make this agreement. It's on. If the other one touches that yellow car, it is on. They've been wronged because of ownership, all right? And we do the same thing. We grab our things. We think they're ours. We hold them so dearly. And we even say, we even use the excuse, I want to be a good steward of it. That's what we say. Well, if we want to be a good steward, we should do what the boss wants, what the manager wants. Be generous. That's to be generous with it. Everything we have belongs to God. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, you were bought at a price, even your own life. When Christ went to the cross for you, he purchased you. He purchased you out of sin. You have a newness of life, but that life is his, all right? You belong to him. Everything, resources, talents, your time, your giftings, all that belongs to God. Ephesians 6 says, you're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. God created you. He gave you your talents. He gave you your abilities. He gave you your experiences, all that. It's all there designed for a reason. All right, everything we have, we belong to him. Everything you have is an investment God has made in you. He's been investing in you. Your training, your experience, your giftings, your money, your resources, all that God's been investing in you. He's been making an investment in you for his kingdom. What have we been doing with that investment? All right, you know, I use the example that if I gave you, if you have 100 and I took 20 versus about the whole idea of ownership. How about a third example? Let's say I have 100, I give you 80, and I say, now you work for me, go take that 80 and go meet needs, and don't use it on yourself, but go meet needs and be a blessing to others. And then you took that 80 and spent it all on yourself on a night out. Who's getting ripped off then? The boss, right? God's made investments in us, right? He's investing in us for his kingdom. It's not ours. It's his. So he's asking us to be generous with his resources. Okay, so it's really not that different than that shrewd manager. Okay, objection number two. All right, Tom, I don't have enough to be generous. Second objection, you're reading this and say, okay, I get it. We should be generous. Take someone out to lunch. I don't have enough. I don't have enough. I can't pay my bills. I can't afford to be generous. I got every penny. I got to squeeze it. I need to squeeze it tight because every penny matters, right? I don't have enough to pay my bills. I don't have enough to be generous. Here's my response, actually, from this passage. Response is this. With that perspective, you never will. With that perspective, you never will. Saying, I don't have enough to be generous? Okay, with that perspective, you never will. Verse 10 says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. Whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. You got a little. God wants to see what you're going to do with as little before he's going to bless you with a lot. All right? If he's investing, all we have is an investment of God. He invests in us and going to see how we do with it. All right? If you're thinking, maybe you're one of the people that says, I want to be a tither. I want to be a tither. I want to give 10%. I feel God calling me to do that. I think it's the right thing to do. Now I'm just waiting for God to give me an extra 10% so I can give it. Right? It doesn't work like that. I want to be generous. I'm going to live that way. I want to do that. Now I just need a little bit extra so I have that extra to be generous with. That's not how it works. He wants to see what we're going to do with the little. And but then as we're generous with that, then he gives more. He says, I'll take care of you, all right? You seek first my kingdom. Be about me, and I'll take care of the rest. I'll take care of those bills, all right? You focus on being generous. Things that'll build these, invest in relationships that'll have eternal significance. I know bills are tight. I know it's tight. I know it's difficult. But God asks us to trust him. That's a big part of the Christian life, is trusting God. There was a time Jesus was hanging out at the temple. I don't recommend you do this, okay? If you do this on Sundays, don't do this. But Jesus did it, but I guess he's special in this way. He was sitting down there watching the offering box. People were going to give money. These big rich dudes are coming up, and they're showing their money, and they're making a big show of it and throw it in. And, you know, and Jesus back there goes, you know, saying, that's no big deal. And then this little widow comes up with two little coins, kerplunk, kerplunk, into the pot. And he says, yeah, that's the one. He says, that is a true gift. He says, that is a gift that honors me. He said, that's the gift I like. All right. The other person gave tons. He wasn't interested. It was not about the amount, okay? Don't think I don't have enough to be generous. She didn't have enough to give much. She gave those two coins. He said, that's what I want. He says, they gave out of their rich, out of their excess. She gave out of her need. All right? She gave all she had. He said, that is a gift because it was about trust. All right? It's about trust. I know times are tight. I know it's tight. I know it's going to require some sacrifice. I know it's a step. It's a step out. But I ask you to trust him, to trust God. All right? Because if you're waiting for him to give that extra so that you can be generous, I got news for you. He's going to give the extra, and I'm telling you, bills are going to fill it. All right? If you think, if I just got a little more, then I could just give that. It doesn't work that way. There are people that make two or three times as much as you, and their bills are two or three times as big. All right? We see somebody with a big house with a boat in the driveway and all that. We think they got it made. You know what? They don't have any extra money either. Okay? They spend it all. That boat's got a payment. The car's got a payment. The house got. They all got payments. And so God wants to see, how are you going to do with your little? He wants to see you be generous with the little before he'll be investing you more. Okay. Isn't it crazy how we get so focused on our little bit, and we take our focus off God, how big he is. We look at how little we have, and we forget how big he is. And the good news is, it is all his, right? And if we're truly his, if we're his followers, he says, I'll take care of you. We look at our little and think, I don't know how it's going to meet. I get that. It's real. I get that. I don't want to say it's not real. It's real. But same time, how big God is, right? He's honored when we trust him. Okay, third objection. Third objection. I will look foolish. You're asking me to be generous with people, to pick up a check, to take people out, to give gifts, to be, somebody's got needs, just meet the need, especially when it's about building relationships, people in my life, just being known as a generous person. But Tom, if I do that, people are going to take advantage of me. I'm going to look foolish. What's my family going to say? If I'm just, you know, they know how tight my bills are. They know I don't have any extra. I'm going to try to live this way, live a generous life for the kingdom. I'm going to look foolish. What are they going to think? What are they going to think of me? How am I going to look? Yeah, you're going to look foolish. But here's a response. Only looks foolish in the eyes of those serving money. It's going to look foolish, but it's going to look foolish in the eyes of those serving money. Verse 13, Jesus says this, when he's talking about this. He says, no servant can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Verse 14, the Pharisees who love money, clearly they were serving money, heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. They were saying, that's stupid. That's foolish. Jesus' response to them, you are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of men, but God knows your hearts. What is highly valued among men is detestable in God's eyes. 99% of our world serves money. Okay? Everybody serves something. You serve God or money. We talked about this before, all right? Everybody serves something. You serve God or money. What are you giving your life to, all right? 99.9% of our world, I would say, serves money. And to someone serving money, being generous like this is foolish. They're saying, are you crazy? Why are you being so free with your money like that? Not free like going by TVs and stuff, but free with, you know, building, being generous for the kingdom. Why are you being generous like that? Don't you know that you need money to put food over, put food on your plates. You need money to put a roof over your head. You need money to meet your needs. You need money to solve your problems. You need money to bring you happiness. You need money to bring you comfort. You need money to have peace in life. You need money to make sure that your future is going to be okay. You need all these things, and you're just going to give it away. You're going to be generous. That's foolish. That's foolish to do that. And if you're looking to money to do all that, if you're trusting in money for those things, it would be foolish. But if you're trusting in God to put food on your plate, if you're trusting God to put a roof over your head, if you're trusting in God to meet your needs, if you're trusting in God to solve your problems, if you're trusting in God to bring you comfort and trusting God to bring you joy, if you're trusting in God to take care of the future and to provide peace in your life, if you find your security in God rather than a bank account, well, that frees us up to be generous with that. Now, clearly, God uses money to provide these things. I'm not just saying whatever comes in, it's just, you know. But clearly, God uses money. But if we see the source, if we recognize that who I'm trusting is God to provide these things, then it frees me up to be able to be generous with this. If I see this as an investment from God, not just for me, but so I could be generous for the kingdom, well, then it frees me up to do that, right? Now, people that aren't on board with that, they're going to say that's foolish. And they may even try to take advantage of it. I don't know, but what's kind of nice about that? You want to hear the good side of that, the positive side of that? Is how effective being generous can be in our world, right? In a world where it's get what I can get, grab and hoard and be mine, and I got mine, you keep it away, and get as much as I can, and you know, look out for yourself. We can, by being generous, we could shine. It doesn't take much to stand out, right? In the world that we live in, when we're talking about generosity, you can really make a difference. You can open doors to people, right? You can break down barriers. You can build trust by just saying, hey, man, can I take you out to dinner? Or have someone over for dinner, or meeting a need, or stepping up in some way. And just being generous with people can make a huge difference in the world we live in, all right? Because they all live by this creed, right? They're serving money. And we give them we help them out with a little bit of money, not like just give them cash to people, but at the same time, if there's a need and we meet it, and they know there's a cost, that speaks volumes to people. So we could take something as eternally insignificant as money and exchange it for something as valuable as relationships that can have eternal significance, opening doors to be able to talk to people about Christ, creating vulnerability with people, getting to know people, getting through all the how's your day stuff and really talk about how's your life, you know? And we can take something that's insignificant as money and use it for that. Now, we know money, I shouldn't say insignificant, because money is tied, in our society, it's tied to a lot of things. And I'm not saying it's got no value, because clearly it does. But that's where we're getting into the trust. That's why we have to have a sermon on it, right? Otherwise, we would just naturally do it. But just to get a better perspective of using this parable to see Christ raising up the value of being generous, understanding this time is short, being generous with a resource of this short time so that we can do something of true value that's going to last in the time ahead. So closing question. I'm going to end with this. Closing question. Whose kingdom are you building with God's investment in you? Whose kingdom are you building with God's investment in you? How are you using all that God's invested in you? Your resources, your time, your talents. Whose kingdom are you building with that? Are we building our own kingdoms, our own empire? Building our own slice of life here, you know, we got all the things we need, you know, take care of ourselves completely? Or are we using it to build His kingdom? So my encouragement for you today is to recognize our resources, not as our own, but they're investments from God, and that we would use it as the boss, right? The true owner of them would want, by being generous to those around us. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are trustworthy. Thank you that you have proven it to ourselves over and over in our lives that we can count on you. Thank you that you've already given us the greatest thing, and that's your Son. That's forgiveness. That's acceptance into your kingdom. Forgiveness. Mercy. We thank you for those things. And God, we confess in light of that, we We have a hard time trusting you with the tangible, the stuff in my back right pocket, stuff in the bag that I carry. It's tough to trust you with that. And so, God, I pray for each one of us today. You would help us to be generous for you, that you would shift our attitude, shift our hearts from get mine to instead to be being generous. God, give us opportunities this week, God, to initiate with people, to build into relationships, to go the extra mile, and to be generous for those around us. Show us needs that we can meet, and help us to take those steps, even the difficult steps of going into areas of full trust, to be able to build these relationships that will have significance. God, I pray that you would guide us each one as we submit to your lordship. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Hey, thanks so much for coming today. That closes our service. If anyone has an offering to give, it's in the box there in the back. There's a black box. Slide it in there. But I hope you today, as you go today, you'll just be looking for those chances to be generous and to build relationships with those around you. God bless you all, and thanks for coming. Snacks next door. Go next door, and we'll have some snacks there.